This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Companies could be legally required to disclose more climate change risks. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. The Securities and Exchange Commission is holding a big meeting today. It'll be deciding whether to require companies to disclose their greenhouse gas emissions and their climate risks they face and may face in the future. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here with the details. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Sabri.
So what are the rules currently around climate change reporting for companies?
Well, that's the thing. Companies do have to report risk to the bottom line to their investors, and many firms are already including climate change risk, but there are no standards on what they have to report on climate change. The SEC is considering a rule that would tell companies how to define and measure the impact of climate change. The question is, will the SEC require companies to disclose all their emissions, including those from suppliers and affiliates, and what about emissions from customers using a firm's product?
Can you give an example of what a company would have to disclose exactly about the risk from climate change if the SEC approves these rules?
Yeah, so it could include things like physical damage to a company's buildings from floods or fires or extreme weather events like hurricanes.
Is there any pushback at all from companies on this?
There might be. Companies could go to court to challenge any new regulations. Any lawsuits could drag on past the next presidential election. A new president could appoint a new SEC chair who could unwind the rules before they were ever implemented. So there's a long road ahead.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The Federal Reserve raised interest rates last week by a quarter percentage point. And the whole point of that is to try and get inflation under control by dragging down demand in the economy, cooling the economy down. The war in Ukraine is complicating things. There is a possibility the war could drag down demand in the U.S. economy and lower inflation all on its own without help from the Federal Reserve. Ironically, the war would do that by causing gas prices to rise. So yes, raising gas prices could help fight inflation elsewhere in the economy. It's a possibility. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and is here to help with that one.
So we think that some of the inflation last year that we had was because there was so much policy stimulus in, you know, boosting the economy that wages and prices were rising. That's the kind of inflation that the Fed needs to lean against with higher interest rates. Inflation coming from the war in Ukraine might be different. It might, higher gas prices act as a tax on consumers. That might actually slow the economy down.
Is there any historical experience we can point to that would help us understand whether the kind of inflation coming out of the Ukraine war, you know, what kind of inflation that is?
We have lots of historical experiences. Most of the time, high gas prices, high food prices do act to slow the economy down because they're not coming from internal strength. But we have one very bad example on the other side with the oil shock of the 70s, which really got deeply embedded into an inflationary environment in the economy. So, you know, again, it's going to be, the data are going to have to tell the story.
Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
All right, let's see how the markets are doing. Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 68 points. That is 0.2%. The S&P 500 is up 0.2%. The NASDAQ is down 0.2%.
Thank you. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
China is still trying to maintain its zero COVID policy for Omicron that it used successfully for previous COVID variants. As some outbreaks come under control, others are cropping up. This is in contrast to other parts of the world that have all but returned to business as usual and consumer demand as usual. So China's fight with Omicron, depending on how it goes, could drag down supply chains and fuel inflation elsewhere. Here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Peck.
Some 4,000 cases a day were reported on the Chinese mainland both Saturday and Sunday. These figures are low if you compare them to the U.S., but China quarantines everyone who tests positive for COVID and their close contacts. Officials say tough measures help them get the virus under control again in the high-tech hub of Shenzhen. A citywide lockdown was lifted there on Monday, allowing Apple supplier Foxconn to restart some factory operations. Across the border, Hong Kong says it will allow flights again from previously banned countries, including the U.S., starting next month, and that it will shorten quarantine for some inbound travelers. Here in Shanghai, there is no citywide lockdown, but schools are shut. Clusters of residential buildings have been sealed on and off over the past 7 days, and businesses are suffering. Movie theaters are shut, restaurants are now mostly takeout only, even Disneyland closed on Monday. China's COVID rules got businesses back to work quickly at the start of the pandemic, but some investors worry that the tough measures don't make much sense anymore when the rest of the world is reopening. In Shanghai, working from home, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
A lot of nickel comes out of Russia, and the price has been very volatile. It's currently 130% higher than it was last year. Nickel goes into stainless steel, and the restaurant and food business with all its stainless steel is going to feel that price hike. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Stainless steel has a few special qualities. A big one is its cleanability.
Stainless steel minimizes microstructural cracks, crevices, or valleys where bacteria can hide.
That's Abby Snyder, a professor of microbial food safety at Cornell University. She says that's because stainless steel is durable, more resistant to sanitizers and high heat. It doesn't easily crack. It's hard to chip. It's not absorbent. These are just some of the reasons why the food industry relies on stainless steel.
Stainless steel can also be welded in-house by the maintenance staff of food plants. So material that can't be fabricated or machined as easily, that would be a big drawback for the food industry from a functional perspective.
Stainless steel prices were rising even before Russia invaded Ukraine, as the food service industry started picking up again. Analyst Panos Kotsaras follows the stainless steel market at the research company CRU Group. He says other industries have been competing for stainless steel too.
Really, the market that absolutely boomed since the lockdowns were lifted were domestic appliances. This is where we saw very, very strong demand for stainless steel.
Appliances like dishwashers and bread makers. Kotsaras says Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the effect it's had on nickel prices will probably cause the price of stainless to rise even more.
Our expectation is that in the second quarter of this year, we are likely to see a 7% increase in prices from the first quarter of this year.
This has had Nico Frecha paying close attention. He's the co-founder of 21st Amendment Brewing in the Bay Area.
All of our tanks, all of our piping, all of our fittings and spare parts are all stainless steel. And then don't forget kegs.
Frecha says his tanks are big, expensive pieces of equipment, and he hasn't had to buy any new ones recently. But those pipes, fittings, and kegs have to be replaced and maintained regularly.
Even if you're pretty much static, there is an ongoing need for stainless steel items at all times in the brew house.
If stainless steel prices rise further, Frecha says there's not a lot he can do to mitigate the cost.
there isn't another item that you can swap out. You can't use aluminum, you can't use plastic, you can't use, you know, other types of metals.
So Freitas says he'll keep an eye out for used parts and equipment. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.